Good morning. Welcome into Public Perspectives here on AM 1340 KXCO. Ray Michaels and David Pickering this morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming in this morning on what should be a day off for you, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity to share some of this with you.
Yeah, not a problem. Now, this is Miss Missouri Weekend, and for a long time, you photographed Miss Missouri pageants and contestants. How many years did you do that?
Well, just guessing, I would guess about 15 years. I began slowly with the official photographer. The turnaround time for the images to use for publicity was slower, so I began just working as a pageant volunteer to provide images for early release of publicity for publicity reasons. And then over the years, as I my skills increased and I got better at it, then, you know, the contestants and contestants' families also appreciated having the images. And so then I began photographing the entire event, and it just kind of gradually happened. And then they lost the official photographer, and I stepped into that role and actually operated it from a business standpoint as providing images of the entire event, the entire week, and selling it to the contestants and their families. So
was that particular event more or less difficult to photograph than other events that you've documented over the years?
Yes, there is a higher degree of difficulty. The other events that are similar that I photographed would be theatrical productions. The difference is that with the Miss Missouri contestants in doing talent, things move very fast. And under challenging lighting conditions and things moving very fast, then it takes quite a bit. You have to have a sweet spot in your exposures and find that, you know, to be able to have a proper exposure, but then also fast enough to stop action and that type of thing. So yes, there's a little difference in that.
Now, did you start there with digital, or did you do any true roll film with Miss Missouri?
Not with Miss Missouri, no. My last roll film was in the early 80s at Mexico High School in Publications.
Okay, so you've come away since high school days then.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's a big gap in there between those two that I had no interest in photography at all.
Okay, all right. Any idea how many headshots you've taken over the years? Not just with Miss Missouri, but overall?
I do a lot of business headshots, and I would say that's probably only been the last maybe 10 years that I've been doing those, and I have just hundreds. It'd be hard to, I'd have to go in and count, but a lot of businesses have used me to photograph, you know, their entire staff, and then a lot of individuals contract with me to just provide headshots for business use, business cards, those types of things.
Sure. Now, do you miss doing Miss Missouri now that you've kind of gotten away from it?
Well, to be honest with you, yes and no.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in and around the pageant because my folks were some of the original board members, and they were the original folks that brought the pageant to Mexico. And so as a child growing up, I was always in and around the pageant, painting the set. You know, when they had it in the field house instead of in the gymtorium, they would have to make the stage, make the backgrounds, everything new every year. And so I was always around and involved in it. And so not being involved in an official capacity, because as I've retired from being a behind-the-scenes volunteer, I stepped right into the role of photographer. So in one way or another, I've been involved in it for, you know, since its inception almost.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a little different than, because last night and didn't go to the pageant, I went to my grandson's birthday party, and not being there did feel a little weird.
Now, you can, though, go and just enjoy the spectacle that it is without having to be tied to a lens, if you want.
Absolutely, yes. Last year, I sat in the audience and thoroughly enjoyed watching the production and going home as soon as it was over with no responsibility. So, yeah, it was different and yet enjoyable, though.
Besides doing Miss Missouri, you were also really involved in school events in general. What kind of time commitment was involved, not just in being there and taking the photos, but then in editing or getting them ready to print once the event was done?
I think that's a really good point because I think it is assumed by many that with professional photography that you simply take the pictures and upload them and you're done. And that's just not the case. There's a lot of prep, you know, getting your equipment ready, taking that many photos with the powerful cameras require a lot of battery use. So, I mean, just even charging your batteries is time consuming. But generally speaking, for sports, theatrical, even portrait photography, for at least for every hour I shoot, I spend an hour and a half to 2 hours on post-processing. So, for instance, if I would do a football game, a high school football game, and get home at 9 o'clock, generally speaking, I didn't just go to bed. I would stay up and edit those. And so I would, shoot for 2 to 3 hours at the football game, come home and edit for, 3 to 4 hours and go to bed at midnight or 1 in the morning and
get up and be ready to go again on Saturday morning.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, there's, and the Miss Missouri was the same way. In fact, one of the reasons I retired just is because during the pageant, I took 12 to 13,000 images over the period of that week.
Wow.
And, if you consider how much time it takes to go through and just cull the images and eliminate the bad ones, because you take lots of bad shots and that get
never get seen
to get a few good shots. I would spend at least a week and a half to 2 weeks every hour, 4 or 5 hours a night, editing, processing, categorizing, posting the images on social media and putting them on my website to make them available. So yeah, there's a huge time commitment.
Absolutely.
In the after the shot as well.
Sure. Now, you mentioned that you shot roll film and publications in high school. Is that where you developed, no pun intended, your love of photography?
Actually not. Honestly, I think I did the publications because in the high school, there was always a back door to the dark room, and we could go out the back room and go down to Dairy Pride and get quickies and get back before the school hour was over.
So now the truth comes out.
Yeah, that
statute of limitations is
I'm not
over.
The only one. There's lots of people that did that. They did close that door in now, so it's not there.
No longer an option. Well, but, the Dairy Pride's no longer an option either.
So really where I began the love of portrait photography and taking pictures of people in, different capacities, weddings and sporting events and pageants and just everything, lots of community events too. But I started, it really was working with my youth group when I was involved with a youth group as a youth coach or youth volunteer. One of my jobs was always to document things and to take pictures. And I turned that into a way to allow the kids to have pictures to take home. So I would take pictures 1 week, then go have them all printed, put them on a bulletin board, and the kids could take them home. The reactions that I got from a lot of the kids, just saying, oh, that's a really good picture of me. And that kind of fueled my fire in, how can I take pictures and try to make people feel better about themselves? And, that's kind of my drive, now is always my favorite. Well, a different way to put it would be my favorite type of person to take a picture of is somebody that says, oh, I don't take good pictures. Because I love to prove them wrong. I love to find everyone's, the you know, their best qualities and try to pose them, you know, using the angles and different photography techniques to make them feel like that isn't actually a flattering photo and that they like it. So
you have a challenge if you try to shoot me because it's a face for radio for a reason.
That's true.
You didn't have to agree quite so quickly, but that's okay.
No.
We'll let that slide.
The radio thing, that's true. Because I was just going to tell you that I got dressed up today to be on the radio.
See, that's nice. I appreciate that. I do. You got dressed for a party of one. It's all right. Now, there is another project that you are very involved in that I would venture to guess probably 95% of people that know you do photography don't know that you do this particular aspect. It's called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. Give us the details on that.
So Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep is a volunteer organization that makes a professional photography available to parents that have experienced a loss at birth, stillbirth, those types of things where the baby dies and isn't able to be brought home. And so the photographs that we capture are, besides their own memories, are the only thing that they have. And so they're never put online or anything. It's done privately through the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep organization. I do the photography. I volunteer for really this entire area. When I first started, there were two other photographers, which they had families, and the other photographers decided to back away from doing it. So I cover Columbia, Jefferson City, and of course, obviously used to cover Mexico as well. So I do get quite a few calls, and I really feel like that it does make a difference to those families and that they really appreciate and cherish those. I don't get a lot of feedback because I don't, other than the photos, I don't have a lot of contact with the families, but I just have faith knowing that that what I'm doing through that is making a difference.
Well, and as you mentioned, that may be the only photograph they have of that child.
Yes.
Now, you don't charge for your services. Is there a charge to the families that utilize the service to buy the photos or anything?
No. The photos are placed on a website where they're able to download the images for no charge. I can edit them myself, but I utilize professional retouch artists that, which is also a different segment of the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep organization. So I upload them, digital retouch artists pick them up and they edit them and try to restore, if the baby has flaws, try to restore to a natural appearance just so that the families have, you know, something to remember the baby from,
sure,
from those photos.
And that's got to be an awesome experience. It's got to be difficult at times, but with your profession as a funeral director embalmer, you can kind of separate and make a little bit more distance between your emotions and what's going on in the room, though, right?
Yes. I think that, you know, that actually does make it easier for me because over the years I've developed the ability to channel my emotions to be able to help to focus on making a difference and helping people and helping families through the difficult time and channel my emotions through that instead of internalizing and focusing on the grief aspect of it. It's still there, but
sure.
I just try to make a difference and try to, you know, help and focus on that, and that's kind of what gets me through those times.
Sure. Well, David, thank you for doing that. And I know families that they may not have any contact with you after the fact, but I know that they have to appreciate what you do with Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep.
Well, I appreciate you asking that because, you know, I really want to raise the awareness of making it available, because I've talked to so many people that said, oh, I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Sure.
So, you know, I encourage folks that know that this is happening to families to mention it and reach out to the hospitals, and the hospitals are the ones that contact us. So,
David, how long have you been a funeral director in Embalmer?
Well, I became licensed in the fall of 84. So 38 years. Yeah.
Wow.
And I've been here, you know, in Mexico working all those years.
And did you decide to get into it on your own, or was it, since it was the family business, we're just going to do this?
Honestly, just growing up, you know, around the funeral home and just not ever knowing anything different that I wanted to do, it just was a natural progression for me to step into the family business. And it's a way of life, so I was already living that way of life to begin with. So I was familiar with, I knew what I was getting into.
Right.
The ones that baffle me are people that come from nowhere that never grew up around a funeral home and decide to go into the funeral business. But it is a very caring and compassionate industry. And so people that are wired that way, I can understand why they would want to try to help people.
Sure. What are some of the major changes that you have seen over those years in the funeral industry?
Well, a couple things. Probably one of the biggest is the way that people choose the type of service that they want. More people now are choosing less formal services and trying to have life celebrations and bring more personal aspects of the person's life and things to the services and personalize them in ways that it's, you know, it openly celebrates who the person was and what they meant to the family and what they meant to the community. I think that also over the years, over the last few years, the services have tended to become more same-day services than used to be. There was a visitation in the evening and a service the next day.
Mm-hmm.
We're still doing that, but just more and more people are choosing to do everything in the same time. And I think that actually relates to families being spread out all over the country. It's harder to get off from work now. And so all of those and people are actually involved. I mean, to plan, you know, that services around everyone's schedule in the family is really difficult sometimes too. And, you know, because kids are all involved in sports every season and different other activities. And so
sure.
finding those times. And I know that sounds like it's, you know, disregarding the respect for the person, but that's just family dynamics.
Sure. You know, everybody's leading a busier life than when you and I were kids, because that I never had a same day service. You know, when I would go to a funeral as a kid, it was always a visitation in the evening followed by
right
a ceremony the next day, either in the morning or in the afternoon. And that's just the way it was.
That's one of the big changes. And then of course, technology now allows folks to attend without attending. We record services and send them to family members, you know, quite often. We don't try to live stream as much as they do in the cities, just because for whatever reason, we just don't have a lot of success in having uninterrupted broadcasts with the live streaming. We find that it's more dependable to record them and send the recordings to the family members. And it's a little more private, too, than publicly broadcasting them. So, you know, folks will choose to attend the service that way instead of coming. So so that's kind of another thing that's changed and evolved.
Now, one of the things that has affected pretty much everybody in town is the closing of the hospital. Has that impacted the funeral industry in the area at all?
I really don't believe so, because, you know, in recent years anyway, the any critical patient was transferred to either Columbia or Jeff City for more specialized critical care. So a lot of folks were already out of town and in those hospitals. So really, you know, we were already going to those to retrieve the bodies, you know, of people that died in those facilities anyway. So I don't really think that it's had a huge impact on us. I mean,
gas other than probably more so than anything else.
Well, yeah, fuel prices for sure. But yeah, I mean, other than, you know, the hospital not being here has an impact on our own health care for our own families. So more time off from work to attend or to go to appointments and things like that. But the funeral business, no, I don't think it really has had an impact.
And David, what is, we'll go back to photography just for a little bit, but where can folks view photos that you've had? What's the website?
So my website is my name, .biz. So it's davidpickering.biz. Simply that, and most of the community events, there's a few events that I photographed at the that they asked me to keep private, but most of the community events that I'm at, the photos are available there. So,
and you can order and everything right there online, correct?
Yeah, and a lot of them are open for download, so they can download them from there, download unwatermarked images. Some of them, they would have to purchase them, but, you know, depending on the time commitment and what the organization, if I'm volunteering for an organization, it's totally different than doing it for a for-profit organization or something like that.
Which makes perfect sense. But David, thanks for giving up part of your Saturday morning to be with us here on Public Perspectives. Keep up the good work and keep being visible in the community.
Thank you very much. It's always nice to be with you guys, and I appreciate the time.
Not a problem. David Pickering, our guest this morning on Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXCO.